Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Eddie Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice and be glad in it. And I pray that you too will do the same thing. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. It is such a beautiful, beautiful day, and I pray that you are already, after you've given God praise, already made your mind up that you're going to rejoice and be glad in this day. I pray that you're going outside today and get a breath of fresh air. Get some sunshine today. It's beautiful. And you need to do so before it gets too hot. Praise be unto God. Well, beloved, as you know, I am the pastor of New Vision for Life Church. Praise God. And the church sends their love to our radio show. They send their love. Our co-host, Minister Tabika, is working today, and therefore she will not be with us today. And Deacon Thomas Farr is on the road today, so he won't even be able to share with us today. So you got yours truly. Praise be unto God. You got me and the Holy Spirit, and not necessarily in that order. So you remember that. All righty, all righty, all righty. I want to say good morning to Tamika Shelton, to Joyce and Lester Richardson, praise God, to Prophetess Kim, Prophetess Dorn, Isaiah in Chicago, Isaiah in Pennsylvania, to Teresa in Pennsylvania, praise be unto God, hallelujah, to Joyce in New York. Praise be unto the Lord. It's always a blessing to see you, few people that I name, because you are the ones that are here every single week. And I just truly thank God for you. To the many of you, the others of you that have called in, praise God. You know we love seeing your numbers. We know, you know we love to have you with us. Even those of you that came to this station accidentally, to this program, we welcome you. We just welcome you. Remember, beloved, as always, if there's a comment that you would like to share, you would press 1 on your keypad and share what it is that you would like to share. And because the majority of my audience, because the majority of my audience is are Christians, I don't normally say what I'm about to say, but today I feel that I might have to say it because I don't know who will show up on the show today. You know, things have a way of working out kind of funny sometimes. But we ask that all comments, you know, be decent and in order. It's okay for us to be angry, but, you know, no vulgarity or anything of that nature, no promoting of violence, you know, in our conversation. So I just want to put that disclaimer out there that, you know, we want to do everything in decency and in order, everything that we do in decency and in order. And a couple of the guests that I had were unable to make it this morning. And so that kind of throws, you know, my program to a different side, but we're still going to go ahead with the discussion that I wanted us to have this morning. So y'all be encouraged, be encouraged, be encouraged. So let us go ahead and open in prayer. Let us go ahead and open in prayer. Well, Father God, yes, first of all, sir, yes, Lord, yes, first of all, it is such a pleasure to know that I can communicate with you this morning And I can only do that because you brought me safely through the night. I thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. I thank you for your kindness towards me and to all of the listeners and our families, Lord God. Father, I praise your holy name because you truly are a father to us. You make provision for us. You protect us. You keep us, Lord. You give us knowledge, and we have to be wise enough to use the knowledge that you give us, Lord. Father, that you make a way when there's no way, and for that we do say thank you. You truly are our strong tower, and we can run into you, Lord God, and we can be safe with you, Father. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for healing and deliverance, that anyone on this line, Father God, that is not doing well physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, Lord God, by your Spirit, I ask you to bring a spirit of peace, your peace, upon us, Father, that we might rest in you, that we truly might rest in you, that without fear that we can go from one day to another. I plead the blood of Jesus over this line, over every single person that's on this line, over our entire family, Father. Lord, I thank you for your grace that you extend unto us. Father, that we, as the kingdom of God, we as your kingdom, Lord God, your people, your children, what a responsibility that we have been charged with to carry your word and to share with others who you are and how great you are, and the fact that you also are the judge, that there is judgment. And it is left up to us to share the word of God exactly the way you would have it done. So I ask you, Lord God, to keep our eyes and ears open. Don't let us be deceived by the enemy in any way, shape, or form. And as our eyes and ears are open, our ear of understanding, our eye of understanding, that we would understand things the way that you would have them understood, the way that you want them shared. And I thank you, Lord God, that when we do what you have called us to do, your will is being done here on earth as it is in heaven. And with that, I give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Well, today, I wanted to, Lord have mercy. I wanted to talk about George Floyd, and those of you, you know, you probably knew that was one of the things I was going to touch on today, and just one moment. Okay. All righty. You probably knew that we were going to touch on it because I try to keep up with what's going on, and that's part of our heart-to-heart conversation. That is part of our heart-to-heart conversation, and I want us to talk about this morning and want to get to the heart of the matter. Many of us have seen the video that was online with the police officer's knee on his neck. And I do believe the story that was behind it. And of course, y'all, you know, like I said, that you can press 1 and you can, you know, share with us if you hear me saying anything that's incorrect as I do the opening, please, you know, share with me. From what I understand, he had given a vendor a counterfeit $20 bill, and the police were called, and he was arrested. And from what I could see on the video, he was led out of the store, hands behind his back, already arrested, and was put in the police car. Then I believe they said that he was pulled out of the police car, thrown onto the ground. The one officer had his knee on his neck. Two officers were holding his legs. One officer standing there. And George, as he verbally protested for them handling him, he eventually told them he could not breathe. And one of the officers said, should we turn him on his side? If he had been turned on his side, he would have been able to breathe. And the officer that had him pressed down said, no, you know, he's staying right here. And he had his knee on his neck for 8 minutes, I believe, in 49 seconds, I think was the determination. George was 6 feet six, and of course, you know, the policemen, they always want to point out when anything like this happens, you know, if the person that they killed or allegedly killed, if the person that they died in their, I don't know, possession or whatever it is, that he was in custody is the word, that they want to definitely find any negative things that they could find about him, police records, et cetera, and also they try to find bad health records as well to say that there's a possibility he died because of a health issue they have. So those are two things that they normally try to find in order to justify what happened, in order to justify what happened. These things are these happenings. Well, let me say this. One of the people that I wanted to be on the show was a police officer that I know. And at the last moment, and it may be because he may have talked to someone, said that he couldn't be on the show because he is a police officer and he cannot speak up about the type of situation that this is, not at this time, even though we see and hear in the news some police officers, you know, who are saying that it was wrong, of course, and we know that the riots started, and at that time, like, those four men got fired, but they had not been arrested. And then as of yesterday, the knee guy, he got arrested and being charged with third degree murder and manslaughter. And the riots have continued, and they're protesting and request. George's fiance, and along with the lawyer, is requesting that the other officers be arrested and charged as well because of the participation in this and the lack of doing something while they were all there. So, you know, that's what's on the table. And like I said, I'm sure all of us have seen some of it. Some of us don't want to look at the videos and can't stand viewing those things. And I've heard many comments. I've talked to many, many people. I'm going to share with you some of the comments that I heard. And Saints, really, this morning, I really need you to talk to me. I need you to talk to me as a man and or woman of God, as a black man and or woman, So let's see, we covered your Christianity, we covered your ethnic background, and I had also asked for a couple of Caucasian friends of mine to be on, and they're not on yet. You know, so I wanted a police officer, a Caucasian. Of course, you know, I knew I'd have the black audience. That was no problem. We have Christians. I wanted someone that was not a Christian, that was not a Christian. I wanted us to have a good mix for a good conversation today. And bit by bit, you know, some people backed out. And that's okay. That is okay. We will talk about it. We will talk about it. This is something, you know, that is vitally important, and it cannot be ignored. I had one person tell me that they don't look at the videos of these things happening because it brews anger and even hatred, and they cannot tolerate nor do they want to be angry, nor do they want any form of hatred in their heart. So they, therefore, they don't look at it. And it was this morning, that as I ran that statement back over in my head, I knew exactly what book I had to pull off my bookshelf, because I was going to read that to the person, but I'm going to share an excerpt to you in dealing with that. You know, there are many of us that are on here to see what George Floyd went through, to see, I can go all the way back to Rodney King when he was beaten the way he was beaten. You know, the many different African-American people that have been killed that were unarmed, and were killed, several having mental issues, several reaching for phones and getting killed, Tavon, and what about the black man that was in his apartment, and the white officer, she went in his apartment accidentally and killed him, thinking she was in her own apartment. People being racial profiled, traffic stopping, and being killed at the traffic stop. You know, and there are those who don't want to look at it, can't stand to see it, because it bothers them so much. In fact, I had one caller share with me, I can't stand to see it. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be full of hatred. Can't you just show me something good? Show me something happy? You know, and that was the attitude. A lot of us don't want to look at it. But does our not looking at it, does that say something? Or can we not look at it and still take a stand? Can we do that? Are we in the place in our relationship with God, looking at it, we feel that, okay, not looking at it, or either looking at it, either way, do we feel that it's wrong if we get angry? Can we be angry and sin not? Can we separate ourselves from the things that are going on? Can we separate ourselves and not be apart? How do we deal with this? How do we look at it? What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? And heart to heart, that's what I'm asking you this morning. What are we supposed to do? If anything, what are we supposed to do? Do we pray and leave it there? Do we pray and say something? You know, I tell the prophets that are in our church that there's a time that God will reveal something to us, and all we're supposed to do at that time is pray about it. He'll reveal something about something that's going on, and he just wants us to pray. There are times he'll reveal something to us, and he wants us to say something about it. He wants us to say something, and that saying something about it is the time that I'm speaking of is when we're supposed to say it immediately. You know, say it to the person, say it out in the atmosphere, say it out in the atmosphere is the biggest thing. We're supposed to say what he has given us prophetically and say. Then there's a time that he gives us something and we're supposed to pray about it, wait a while, and then say he'll give us the time to say it. And so then as prophetic people, are we supposed to pray about this and do nothing? Are we supposed to pray about this and say something? Are we supposed to pray about it and say something? You know, so what are we supposed to do? And again, heart to heart, that is the question that is on the floor today. That is the question that is on the floor. And I want to hear what you have to say this morning. I want to hear what you have to say. And before the floor is open. I don't see any of you pressing one on your keypad, but the floor is open. I want to read to you. Remember when I told you there was something that I wanted to read, because when that person said, you know, they literally said that seeing this type of stuff grieves them. That's what the literal word was, that it grieves them. And they don't want to be angry, and they don't want to be full of hatred, because this type of stuff brings anger and hatred, racial hatred. It brings it up. And they don't want to be caught up in that, and it grieves them. Okay, so that conversation was in my mind when I woke up this morning. It was in my mind. And I'm saying, where did I hear something about when something grieves you? And I came out here into my living room, and I looked at the bookshelf, and there it was, The Assignment. And Joyce, I know that you know The Assignment well. You know the book, The Assignment by Mike Murdoch. It is one of the most thought-provoking, powerful book for me as far as helping and understanding why I feel the way I feel about some of the things that I feel about. It goes along with the giftings, you know, the assignment, how God wired us, and why we respond to things the way that we respond to them. Oh, I'm telling you, it's just so interesting, so interesting. If you have not, and there's like 5 or 6 books in the series, but if you have not got the original one, The Assignment, I encourage you, please, to get the book. So let me share something. First of all, there's 2 things here. The first of all, that everything God created was created to solve a problem. You are not here by accident. Did you know that God created you to solve a problem? Why did you buy a car? Because it solved the transportation problem. Why do you watch the news each evening on TV? It solves an information problem. Why did God create you? To solve a human problem. Mechanics solve car problems. Dentists solve tooth problems. Lawyers solve legal problems. Mothers solve emotional problems. Accountants solve tax problems. Christians solve human problems. Human problems. God created the prophet Jeremiah for a special time and season. And because God is no respecter of person, it is the same with you. God created you for a special time and season. We were all created, y'all, to solve a problem. Now, the book goes on into talking about assignments and so forth. And this is the, I love the book. I love it. Let me see here. Okay, now what I read to you was fact number one. Fact number two, I'm just going to read the title of fact number two. You are a reward to someone. You are a reward to someone. Understand that what God created you to do, somebody needs that done. And you are the solution to the problem. You bring it. You speak it. You say it. You do it. You. So you are someone's reward. Fact number three, your assignment is not your decision. It is your discovery. See, God already wired you to be what he called you to be. That mechanic, okay, he did not decide to be a mechanic. He discovered that he was a mechanic. He discovered that. He discovered he had a love, you know, for the mechanical part of it and so forth and so on. Now, listen. I know some of you are saying, but wait a minute. You know, I decided to be a mechanic. There are people who decide to be what they are. They decide. But is that decision, there's two things here with that. Is that decision just they decided it, so they became it. Their parents and all said, you're going to do this and you're going to be this. So it was a decision. Or was it what was in them, and as it was in them, they thought that they decided to do it, but it's what really they ended up discovering, but they thought it was a decision. So there are people that can decide to do something, but that's not what God called them to be. And later on down the line, they decide to leave that profession that they decided to be in or to do so that they can become what they were created to become. They have discovered what they have were created to be. They have a love for this thing that they were created to be. And then it is a discovery for them. And they become that. Your assignment is awaiting your discovery from the Holy Spirit and in the pages of Scripture. God specifically prepared events and situations for those who love him. You will only discern and discover those things and events connected to your assignment by the Holy Spirit. So remember, it's not a decision, it's a discovery. Fact number four, your assignment will require your total focus. You will become so focused on what it is that you are supposed to be that everything else totally takes a back seat to what it is that God has called you to be. Fact number six, Your assignment will require seasons of preparation. So that mechanic, it took seasons of preparation for the mechanic to become what it is that he discovered through the Holy Spirit that he was to become. Fact number 7, what you love is a clue to the gifts, skills, and wisdom you possess. What you love is a clue to the gifts, the skills, and the wisdom that you possess. What do you love to talk about the most? What subject gets you the most excited? What would you love to do if money was no longer a factor? When you find out that you when you find that out, you have found your assignment. Fact number 8. This is the one that was an answer to the person that told me that seeing things like George Floyd and all of the other people, you know, that we know that have been wrongfully murdered by the hands of officers, and she said, it grieves me. Fact number 8, what grieves you is a clue to something you are assigned to heal. And let me say that again. What grieves you is a clue to something you are assigned to heal. What you cry about is a clue to something that you were created and ordained by God to heal. Compassion is a signpost. What grieves you? Battered wife, abused and molested children, ignorance, disease, poverty, pornography, homosexuality, abortion, name it. Be honest with yourself. Caring qualifies you as an instrument of healing. What makes you cry is a clue to a problem God has anointed you to conquer, to change, and to heal. He said, look at Nehemiah. His heart was broken about the walls of Jerusalem when they were broken down. He could not sleep at night. He could not rest. He wept for long hours. Everything within Nehemiah was stirred to fast and to pray, to obtain the king's letter, and to connect with the governors and the other officials who could help complete his mission of rebuilding Jerusalem's wall. And he was more than willing to change his personal life to get the job done. So, have you wept long hours over financial bankruptcy and debt? Do you weep when you see homeless children? Tears are a clue to where God will use you the most. Oh, there are many things that should set us on fire, but what grieves you? What saddens you? What moves you to tears? Pay attention to it. Tears are a clue to the nature of your assignment. Where you hurt the most is a clue to what you may need. It's what you may heal the best. Where you hurt the most is a clue to what you may heal best. Fact number 9, what you hate is a clue to something you are assigned to correct. And the list goes on. There's more. And I'll stop here at fact 10. Your assignment is geographical. Your assignment is geographical. Where you are determines what grows within you. Okay. So, heart to heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. What say you? What do you say about these things? What do you say about the incident that has the world rocking today? What do you say about the protests that's going on, the burning of the police station, the burning down of a neighborhood, the looting statement that the president made? The looting starts, the shooting starts. Saints, this is heart to heart. We've got to talk. So I need you to press 1 on your keypad and share with me, if you would, please. What are your thoughts about the matter? Does any of this grieve you? Is it something that you hate? Is it anywhere in some of the things I said that you, while I was saying some of it, were you thinking about, oh, God, so that's what I was assigned to do? Or maybe that's why I have an interest in it and so forth. And it didn't necessarily have to be this, but as I was saying some of those things, did you think about what it was that you may love, that you have a passion for? Or when I got to the part of what grieves you, you know, that was something that you were sent to heal. What you hate is something that you were sent to correct. You know, what thoughts did you have about that? What thoughts did you have? And maybe I ought to ask the simple question, have any of you seen or heard anything about George Flood? Because I'm surprised that not a one of you is doing the keypad and saying, you know, okay, I saw it. Joyce, you always being first. God bless you, because you hear me. You hear me, woman of God. You hear me. But to the rest of you, I'm going to let Joyce speak, because she definitely responded to my cry. Saints, what is on your heart? There's nothing wrong with sharing that. And I know it's your right to keep it quiet. It's your right to keep it quiet. But this is a talk show. Joyce, go ahead, sweetheart. Tell me what your thoughts are. I see you, Teresa. I'll be right there. Go ahead, Joyce.
Well, Apostle, goes in. First of all, my heart breaks as a mother as a Christian. And so my heart breaks, and we're silent because we really don't know how to think as we ought. And so we don't want to make a mistake. We want to get it right this time. And listening to Tony Evans yesterday talking about, you know, this is not on the government, this is on the church. We look at the church as the only place that the healing can start. We are the power. We have to get in position. We have to fast and we have to pray. But we don't know. We just, you know, we just see things going awry. We see anger. And you say anger, and be angry and fear not. And it's like, okay, so what do we do with that in our minds? So our minds become like a scrambled egg of, you know, my Christian thought, my natural thought. What if it was my kid? What if it was, you know, so we're all over the place with this. So the best thing that we can do is to take it to prayer. But in our emotions and all of that, and, you know, we talk all so much about those emotions and all that we go through and being angered to the point of wanting to do negative things and just hurt something or just hurt somebody or just, you know. And I can be touched by all of it, but I also know that we're in a spiritual warfare. And the spirit of what's going on right now, this is spiritual warfare. You hear me say this almost every time we get into something deep. This is so much bigger than us. This is so much big. So again, I don't know. I don't know the answer to your question, but I know that I heard, and I know that I must pray. Yes, I must look. I must keep educated on what's happening. But I can't lean to my own understanding in this. This is too big.
So, and Joyce, you are answering the questions, baby. You are answering them.
Okay. Well, okay. Yeah, but I didn't want to be silent.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I didn't want to be silent, but I just don't know the answers. I just, I'm listening, and that's why I'm in tune with what you're doing, because we're listening and we're seeing what the church has to say, and because that's so important. This is spiritual warfare at its best. It's greater than a black, white, or racial, or looting. It's bigger than all of those adjectives that you've used.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
So
yes,
we're looking for guidance, and that's why people are listening and not wanting to really say or project what they're feeling, because sometimes they need to keep that in their mouth. They don't want to be like certain people. The little tongue needs praying for daily. Because he says out of his mouth everything that he ought not. And so we're trying not to do those same things. So we're looking for guidance. We're looking for guidance.
Amen. You know? Amen. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. And, oops, sorry, honey. I'll come back to you. I'm sorry. And Joyce did exactly what I want to do, and Teresa is going to be speaking next. But the thing is, saints of God, right here, you're safe to share whatever it is that you may be thinking about this. We don't have the ultimate answer to what everything is to be done, what should be done. But this is just a heart-to-heart talk. What are you thinking? What are your thoughts about this? It grieves you. It hurts you. It angers you. You know, and and listen, and I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to let Teresa say what she has to say. You know, one of the things I heard Dr. Hart say that was so wow. He said that, you know, the church is full of hypocrites, and not malicious hypocrisy. It was the fact that we teach people how to be hypocrites by pretending that because we are Christians, that everything is all right. Everything is all right. So then when people see us, they were like, man, I can't live up to that, and so forth. Or either they began to fake it till they make it. They began to fake it like everything is all right and everything isn't all right. And then when they see the people who made it look like everything is all right, when they see them fall, then they say, see, you're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. And the thing is, we as a group of people are not transparent enough other. And you don't have to be transparent to the world, but, man, there ought to be a group of us that we can say, you know, man, I have a problem in this area. You know, one of the biggest areas that men have in the church is pornography, you know, and God knows they all try to hide it. And women have it too, but mostly men. Those are the ones that confess to it eventually. They will try to hide it and act like they don't do the pornography and so forth and so on. And then one day they're caught in it. Or some young man comes to the church and has an issue with pornography, and there's not a man in the church that could talk to him because they all look so holy, so righteous, so this, you know. And so this young man can't talk to the brothers because I don't want them to think something's wrong with me. And so then what does he do? He pretends to be okay. So it is a unspoken of class that we give teaching folks how to act like everything is okay when it's not okay. Joyce, thank you for your comments. I really appreciate it. And it helps to calm me down some. Go ahead, Teresa, darling. Thank you for your patience.
Good morning. The things that come to me is it grieves me that we, and when I say as a people, I don't mean specifically African American, Caucasian. I don't mean by religion. I mean as a human race, that we never seem to get it right. Whether you believe or you don't believe, we seem to forget who we are and whose we are. We seem to forget that the thing is to judge not lest ye be judged. Because people are different, we do have to learn to agree to disagree. Just because your faith may not be the same as mine, your skin color may not be the same as mine, your economic situation may not be the same as mine, that doesn't stop, that shouldn't stop us from getting along. And it grieves me because I have witnessed it, I've lived it, even back to school. Every time I see things like this, I do get angry. I do have to stop and pray, because even when I was a child in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, every time I see this, it brings back to mind that I wasn't good enough to stand in line with my fellow students to get a drink of water, and a teacher slapped me. And it never changes. People don't understand when I say who we are, because I come from a very large blended family, black, white, different kinds of people, different kinds of faith, different kinds of thought processes. So it makes me angry when African Americans or someone attacks Caucasian folk. It makes me angry when Caucasians attack black folk, because I'm saying this is family. We don't have to all be the same in order to express common decency and to understand that we have to learn to love each other. We have to learn to get along with people. It just never ends. I mean, I'm 66 years old, you know, and you see this on a constant basis. It never ends. People tend to judge you because you don't look like them. I don't have to look like you to get along with you. I don't have to get along with you. I don't have to look like you to love you.
Amen.
We have to learn to get it together. We have to learn to come together as a human race. We have to learn to accept that your religion is as important as mine, because it's not just an African-American, black, white thing. You know, folks are killing Jewish folk. They're killing Muslims because they don't understand their religion, because it's different. This is time to get it together, and we better do it fast. And that's my grievance. And that's all I have to say for this morning.
Amen. 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 Thank you so very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so very much. Well, there you go, folks. You can hear, you can hear the pain and the hurt and her voice as she was speaking. You could definitely hear the concern and pain also when Joyce was speaking. And, you know, it, from my point of view, my gosh, like all of you probably on this line, multi-ethnic family, black, white, well, oh gosh, you know, you're black, you're white, you're Indian, I have Japanese relatives, you know, like German relatives. I mean, this is all in the bloodline, you know, so I have all of that. So, like Teresa, you know, my thing is, I have no trouble in loving people, period. That was before I knew Christ. I had no trouble loving people. I didn't know that I, quote unquote, if we do what prejudice tells us to do, I didn't know that I shouldn't like white people or I shouldn't like Orientals or Asians and so forth. I didn't know. That's not how I was brought up. So I never had any trouble with loving everybody, and then that's just how it is. Because as Teresa was talking, I was wondering, like, this thing of us loving everybody, could this be done without us knowing God? Could this be done without us knowing God? And I do believe, I don't know every religion. There's probably over 6,000 different religions, I think I read somewhere many years ago. And but the few that I have some knowledge of, all of them promote some degree of loving other people. All of them do. And we know that all of the different religions don't serve the same God that we serve. So I'm making a point that there is a love that has been spoken of in the many different religions, because my question then became, can we do this loving our neighbors, loving other people, you know, just because? Can we do this without God? And the thing is, without an encounter with God, the fact that because of sin, we are born into a sin. Because of Adam, we are born into sin. That is our sin nature. Our nature is to hate. That is the sin nature. It is natural for us to hate. It is natural for us to be violent. That's natural. I want you all to understand that, because that is sin. That is natural. It's a supernatural transformation when we are born again. Now, because of the man Jesus, the man Adam took us into sin. The man Jesus is what gave us the power to overcome the sin. And so that's the supernatural birth. That is the unnatural thing. And after we have become Christians and understand the love of God and so forth and so on, we want that all men should love. And Jesus died for all men, so for all of us to get along. And then the commandment of loving God with all their heart, their soul, their might, and mind, loving him with everything we have in us, and then love our neighbor as ourselves. And if we could do that, we would not have any of the stuff that we have going on in the world today. We wouldn't have it. Any of the destruction and so forth and so on. But it's not going to happen, saints of God, that we are going to love like that everybody. We might love everybody that we come across like that, but everybody, and I'm going to say this the way I want to say it, everybody ain't going to love us. Point blank, we're going to have racial differences, economic differences, intellectual differences, spiritual religious differences, all gender differences, all of these things. There is a love and hate wrapped up in every bit of it, and that will continue until the end of time. But yes, it's very grievous. It's very grievous, especially when, you know, as we heard, you know, in Teresa saying, you know, can't we just love one another? God, I remember when I used to cry that cry. Why can't we all get together? Why can't we love one another? I'm a love junkie, and y'all should know me well enough. When I say I'm a love junkie, then I turn right around and say, and God is love. So I'm high on the Lord. I love God. I love God. I love everything that he represents that I'm aware of. I love it. And all of the bitterness and the hatred and the violence, yes, it grieves me. It grieves me. I'm the sister to black men. The sister to black men. Not the physical mother, the natural birth mother, but I got many spiritual sons, many spiritual sons. I remember when my great-granddaughter, those of you that know her, she has a four-year-old son, and she was dating a gentleman outside of her race, dating this gentleman. And a lovely guy. Oh, my gosh, I just loved the man, loved him. But several of her black male friends told her that she would be doing her son an injustice if she married the man, because this man cannot teach her son how to survive as a black man. He can't teach that to her son. This man was a very wealthy man, that he does not understand the plight of somebody who is not economically on his level and so forth, so would not be able to teach my great-grandson these things. Now, for those of you that are on here who know who I'm talking about, that was not the reason that they are no longer together. So let me put that out there. That's not the reason they're no longer together. But this is some of the talk that went on during the relationship. He can't teach your black son how to be black, how to survive being black, how to handle himself if he gets pulled over by a police officer just because he's black. I never thought about that. And like I said, my family, I tell you, if you go to one of my family reunions, and it depends on which side of the family is having the reunion, you'll see more whites there and more people from other nationalities than you'll see blacks there. Because just about all of my brothers, I know all of my brothers are married to white women, all of them. So their families come and blah, 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 blah. You know, so all of that's out there. So I never thought about teaching my great-grandson about being a black man. That didn't come. So when I heard that statement, I'm like, well, he's got enough uncles and enough cousins and enough men in the church that these brothers would watch over my great-grandson and train him and teach him what he needs to know. See, the sad thing is that even has to be done. That's the sad thing, that we have got to teach our young boys, children have to teach them how to handle themselves as African Americans. Our time is up, but let me share this one thing here. I saw this on Facebook. And, oh, my gosh, it was something. It was by a Caucasian, and he shared the story of how some children were out in the street playing, and he looked up, and he and his family were in his yard, and he looked up, and a young boy between the age of 8 and 10 came walking towards his yard with his hands up in the air, you know, like he was being arrested. His hands were up in the air. And the man was like, what is he doing? Why is he doing that? And then he looked and he saw that the ball had rolled into his yard and the baby was going to get the ball. But he has his hands up in the air just saying, please, I'm not coming to threaten you. This is a child. I'm not coming to hurt you. Please see, my hands are empty. I have no gun. basically, I just want my ball. And that man, the Caucasian man, said that thing grieved him so much that why would a child have to do this? Why would a child's life be in such that he had to be taught to do this in order? He can't, he can't guarantee that he would live, but he increases his chances of living by getting the ball because his hands were up. His hands could have been in his pocket, and as he's going towards the ball, he pulls his hands out of his pocket. He's on somebody else's property. They got the right to shoot him nowadays, right? And this baby, between 8 and 10 years old, you know, tears are in my eyes even as I say it. And I look at my great-grandson that's 4 years old that is in school with Asians, whites, blacks, you know, my other grandchildren, 8 and 10 years old, in school with Asians, whites, blacks, Indians, and so forth. In school, these children love, they play, and so forth. It grieves me at the thought that the rest of those kids can go home to their neighborhoods, and not all of them, because like Teresa said, Muslims are being killed and so forth, and prejudice is against them. Our black children, because black is what matters right here for this moment, are the kids that will have to walk down the street with their hands up in the air saying, I have nothing. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm not here to hurt you. And then there's the young boy whose mother wrote a song, and he sang it, and Will.i.am and other artists have hooked on to it, put music to it in the whole nine yards, and talking about he's 10 years old, and he's a young man, and he said, I just want to live. I just want to live. Thanks to God, you know, help me, Lord Jesus. When I think about that and we say, this is what we've come to. Now go back 400 years when they were beating and killing and selling children then, except for it wasn't the police officers, it wasn't the authorities, it was slave owners. It was slave owners. And it didn't matter if they would walk and have their hands up. If man decided he wanted you dead that day, you were dead. So, yes, this has gone on. And the slavery going back to Moses' day, this has gone on, honey, because we were born in sin. It's natural for us to hate. Sin and iniquity, it's natural. But thanks be unto God, God who is love, God who places the love of God within us that we can love even our enemies, we can love them. And God will show us, Joyce, Teresa, you know, Prophetess Dawn, all of the rest of you, God will show us what it is that we need to do in such a time as this. One thing for sure, we must pray. We must pray. And then whatever it is God says for us to do, it may seem like a minor thing, very small thing. You may think that it won't solve the problem of the world, but it will be the solution to somebody's problem. Maybe one somebody it may be the solution to. But listen very carefully to your heart. Listen very carefully to the Spirit of God. Trust Him. Trust Him and obey. We pray for George, his family. We pray for all of the people that are rioting and all of the people that have lost their stores and buildings, and the police department. When they said that the police department was burnt down, I thought about all of the paperwork that's in there for cases that they were working on that's not yet put in the system. Yeah, I went there. You know, evidence that's burned up that, you know, they had against somebody and so forth and so on, all of that's gone. You know, the people, the National Guards and the policemen in the street that are getting hurt behind all of this, the arrest that will be done, the pain and the hurt in the hearts of those that are saying, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. And under a crisis like this, sometimes I can't breathe because it hurts so much. I can't breathe. Thanks to God, this was a heavy one today. But I pray that, as always, on Heart to Heart, today we're getting to the heart of the matter. That we can take a deep breath in Christ Jesus and let the love of God flood out and fill our lungs, and then the wisdom of God fill our mental capacity to know what part do we play in all of this, do we do. And on that note, saints, I'm going to leave you today. I'm going to leave you today. I love y'all. I love you. I cannot express to you enough on how much I love you. And I don't know if I've ever said this on the radio before, but if there's anything that I could personally do for you, you know how to reach me. You know how to reach me. I do not have the answers to everything. I'm not the wealthiest person that you know, but I am one that loves God, and I trust Him to help me to help others. So you can reach me through my church website. There's email there. You can reach me through Facebook. But if there's anything that I can do for you, you let me know. And Joyce in New York, I know you had your friend on here a couple of weeks ago. She had asked for prayer, and I had shared with you, you know, that you have my number, that if you, she wanted me to pray for her, you could give her the number and she could call me. She didn't, but know that I have reached out. So I'm one of those people. I want to put my money where my mouth is, okay? I'm not just saying this. I meant this with my heart. I love y'all. I love you. And again, like I said, if there's anything I can do for you, you know how to reach me. All right. All right. So that's it for the day. This is Apostle Etta Banks, and this is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as He does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that He bestowed upon them. And then God, in His awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings He bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Mm-hmm.